Now, I don't want to mention there's a beautiful Ramban in Bereshis that really explains the area of Lemech. Lemech. Lemech and his wives. Vayikach lo Lemech shtei nashim. And then it says, Shema chasod v'shem v'shem sila. So, okay, so the first part of the parsha, it says the, it tells you what each one did. One was Avi Yosheva Mikneh, that was the founder of the idea of being a settler. V'shemach of Yuval Vikol Tovizka Kina V'Ugov, that's the one who was the founder of music, the arts, and then Tuval Kayin was the founder of industry. So that's fine. But then the next part, Vayomer Lamech Noshov, is difficult. I mean, we don't understand what this dialogue is between Lamech and his wives. Odavetzilo Shman Kali, Hashem Lamech Hazena Imrasi, Ki Isha Rakti Lefitzi VeYelo LeChaburasi. What is he talking about? Ki Shiva Sain Yukam Koyin VeLamech Shivim VeShiva. Those two psukim are very difficult. More of a monologue, but Chazal say it was a dialogue, really. But whatever, I mean, it's a very difficult tupsuk. And what does the Torah have to tell us about this? So Rashi says that he told them a kavacham shel shtus. They were worried because he killed Bishoge, that his children will die. So he made a kavachomer that Kayin was shivasayim. They were afraid. Actually, they were afraid that the Shiva Doras are up and they're going to be destroyed. So he made a kavachama that he only killed Bishogeg, so he'll have more Doros. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with Kayans. How's that going to help that? So, I mean, it's a Rashi with kavachama shel shtus, but whatever. I mean, the point is, it seems the whole thing is chosur mana sefer. I mean, the pshatim that we have aren't satisfying. A difficult pshatim. That's Unklus's pshat. Also difficult. The Ramban has a beautiful pshat. He says like this. He says, Ulefi daiti ain tam shivasayim l'shiva doros ki lo soma hamila azos l'si'oma hamila azos ala shiva nefrodim rak ala keifo dover echod Shiva Pamim, Kama Mizukak Shiva Sayim, Yeshalim Shiva Sayim, Orachami Yeshiva Sayim, Kofalu Mechupo Shiva Chalakim. So he says it doesn't really mean, Shiva Sayim doesn't mean seven Doros. It means many, many Shiva Sayim, many, many Doros. And you see from Lashon HaPasuk in Tanakh, that's what I mean. Mizukak Shiva Sayim means very, 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 very clean. I mean, it's very. The gold is mezukah shivasayim means that they remove the dross to a very high degree, and orach hamayir shivasayim it means many, many times. So he says like this. He says, "O pirish kol horeg kayin kipshuta, she'ama shem lachin kol asher yaro kayin shivasayim yukam imeno. Kol horeg kayin shivasayim yukam doesn't mean l'shiva doros, because shivasayim means many, many times." So the Ramban says that's the pshat in the pasuk. Lochein kol horei kayin shivasayin yukam. It means, on the contrary, shivasayin yukam means that he's going to, that God will take revenge from him many times. That's what the Ramban says. I mean, the Ramban is just, you see right away, the fits into the pshuto shel mikra. That lochein kol horei kayin shivasayin yukam doesn't mean shiva doras, because shivasayin means many, many times. Shivasayin zokuk shivasayin. Chama yiyah shivasayim means many times. So he says that's the pshat in the pasuk. Lochein kol horeg kayin shivasayim yukam means that God will take revenge from anybody that's horeg kayin many times, because he was nimchal, and he was chozer b'tshuva, and he was nimchal, and therefore anyone that kills him. So God will take revenge. Ki ani shahargo so sheval chataso. Why? Ki ani if tachti es kayin shelo yehoreg. Bavur yir oso osi. Vehitz vaduso lafonai. In other words, he say his vidu in his tshuva. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu says that if you kill Kayin, you're involved in a more serious chait than just killing an ordinary human being. Because killing an ordinary human being, so it's ritzicha. But you killing Kayin is a denial of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mochel the chotei, because he was misvadeh, he was chazer b'tshuva. So anyone that kills Kayin and denies the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mochel v'saleach. So it's more than just murder. It's more than just ritzicha. Beautiful Ramban. So he says, that's a lachen kol harakan shivasayin yukam. It means that here with Kayin, if you kill Kayin, so why do you kill Kayin? Because you say he was a ratzeach. So it means to say that he wasn't nimchol. There's no mechila and slicho lefonov. So lefonov is bar. So therefore, it's a denial of the whole principle of tshuva and the whole midas hakadosh baruch of mechila and slicho kapara. So that's why it's shivasayin. Beautiful pshat. And Ramban goes on, he says like this. That's just the starts. He says, Aval inyan lemach and noshav lo iskiro akosav bebiur. So the Torah didn't explain it clearly. Venucha lomar gamkin shehoyu yureos meonesh she lo yehoreg lemach ba'avon oviv. That Lamach shouldn't die because of his father's sin. Ki Hashem lo omol akayin salachti loch, rak shelo yehoreg, avol yigve chovo mizaro, velo yodu mosai hoyu, vechein hoyo hadovar, velemach nichem osam loma ki Hashem yirachem olof kasher richem al kayin, ki hu nekicha payim mimeno, v'nespal lefonov, v'gam yishma tfiloso. Okay, that's what he says. That's, you could say, basic pshat, that they were afraid. The basic pshat was they were afraid that even though Kadosh Baruch Hu was mochel him, but what about his zera? And Lemach said, no, I'm a spalaf ne Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll be mochel me as well. Okay, that's one pshat. Then he goes on. He says a better pshat. Aval anira be'enai ki hoyo Lemach ish chochamot. Yep. Right. Yeah. Ki hoyo lemech ish chochamot. He was a very intelligent, talented person. Aviram means b'chol melechus machsheves. He is a talented person. All kinds of arts and works. V'lomad livnoa b'chor inyina hamira. And as the oldest son, he taught how to be a settler on the land, and all that is involved in being a settler and building society. Kefi tivei habehemos, he understood the way the behemos are, the teva, and he explained to them the whole art and the science of being a farmer. V'lomar es hasheni, the second one he taught chokhmas hanigun. He taught him the art of music. V'lomar es hashlishi liltosh v'lasos chorvos uramochim v'chanisos v'chol klei hamochama. In other words, he taught the third one how to produce metal tools and of course instruments of war. That's part of it. I mean, or it's an industry. So he really, yeah.
Is there a certain reason why he considered him in that order?
But he apparently, what he did was he was an individual that wanted to, through his children, he separated. In other words, he had each one do what was best for him, and he taught each one his malacha and his art. He had division of labor, and each one he perfected in a specific area. So obviously they must have worked together, because the one that did music, how's he going to live? So he worked out a whole system, a whole society, with division of labor, basically. That's what the Ramban is saying. So a society was what was basically the farming, and then also the industry, materials of war, weapons, weaponry, and also the arts, basically. So that's what Ramban says. He was a big, tremendous chacham. He established, with his three sons, he established a whole society by dividing up the labor, giving each one what he was good at, according to his abilities, and therefore he established a harmonious society which had everything that's essential. Okay, he had the survival from the farming, and he had the beauty and the appreciation of the arts, and also the protection, the ability to defend oneself through weaponry and industry. So basically, that's what Ramban says. Okay. So Ramban says like this. He says, "V'hoyu noshav mispachados." Beautiful Ramban. Noshav mispachados shelo yanesh. His wives were afraid that he's going to be punished. Why? Ki hevi hacherev or tzichabal. Because with his chachma, that he taught the people, he taught his son, in other words, and society to create weaponry, so he did a bad thing. He brought an evil to the world. He brought cherev. He says, and ritzichabalon. V'hineyu tofes maiseh avosov biyodo. His wife said, "Oh, you're just like your father Kayan, grandfather, great grandfather. Kihu ben hamaratzeach harishon, because he was an offspring of the first ratzeach. Ubora mashchis lachavel, and he created a mashchis. He created weapons, instruments of war. So he's bringing ritzicha to the world. Interesting, beautiful Ramban, isn't it?" V'hu amar lohen, and he said to them, "Ani lo harakti ish lefetzoyim, v'lo yele lachaburos, kasher asakayim. I didn't kill anybody. And I said, v'lo yani sheni Hashem, aval yishmereni min ha'ariga yoser mimenu." The Hizkir Cain, he says, Akash Baruch is not. I didn't kill anybody, and Akash Baruch will not punish me. On the contrary, he will guard me from Ariga more than a God. You know, as Akash Baruch who protected Cain, so he protected Cain. Kal Vachomer, he will protect me. It's a good Kal Vachomer too, because in other words, that if the person himself who was a chote and he was chose of a tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu was mocho, certainly the lemach shivim v'shiva. So certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow me to be nenash, because that would look like the ben is nenash because of the av. It's even worse. It's even more unjust. It's a different kind of injustice. I mean, it's different. You can't compare the two, but it's worse. So therefore, on the contrary, Kadosh Baruch will never let anything evil before me. He'll protect me because it shouldn't appear that because I'm the offspring of the Rotzeach, so therefore I'm going to suffer the penalty. So if Cain is Shiva, because he's Chozer B'Shiva, Lemach Shiva B'Shiva. That was the argument. That's what he told his wives. The Hizkir Cain Lomar. Now, what did he say? Lo ki isha rakti lefitzi v'yel lechaburasi. He said like this: The Hizkir Cain Lomar ki lo becherev v'chanis yochol adam larog. You don't need a cherev v'chanis to kill somebody. Ki befitzayim v'chaburos shem sheyomos b'miso ro yosem min acherev. He says you don't have to, you don't need a sword to kill somebody. On the contrary, you can kill somebody worse with your fists. You could use your own body and destroy another person and give him a misa that's even worse, more painful, a worse type of misa. He says, "Ki lo becher v'chanis yechlomo ki b'fetzayim v'chabur sheyomos misa ro yosem min acherev." The ain acherev goram aritzicha. The ain ala osachet. Interesting thing, huh? He says, so the one that makes the weapons does not have a chet. Only the the one who actually does the Maaseh Ered. Beautiful, beautiful Ramban. Beautiful Ramban. I mean, Ramban really gives the psukim a whole, I mean, a whole frame here, a whole framework. But what is the, now that the Ramban gave this pshat, so what is it, so what is the Torah telling you? So why did the Torah have to have the question is, why does it have to have the story? Well, what's the significance of the story? You see. So what is the, according to the Ramban, I mean, the Ramban opens it up. But according to Ramban, what is really the significance of the Torah telling you this? Yeah. So they could have used this Ramban a few weeks ago with the gun control, huh? Their kasha was the same kasha. It's the same thing they have today. They're saying that the people that produce the weapons are the guilty ones. They're the guilty ones. The Torah doesn't. Why? Because they wouldn't produce these weapons. The same argument they used to. Exact same argument. You don't have to really wonder what this argument is. The argument is in the papers. I mean, in the papers every day. That's the argument. The argument is that it's the ones that produce the weapons are the ones that are responsible. So the argument is, if you keep the weapons away from the people, so then there's going to be less ritzicha. So people are killing. So therefore, the one that makes the weapon is responsible. And that's the argument. It's a simplistic argument. I mean, intelligent people, so-called intelligent people in our society, accept this argument. Ramban says that this parsha came to tell you that argument is false. To tell you that argument is false. What? There, but okay. But what really? I just want to conclude. What is the Ramban saying? What is Ramban saying? Ramban is saying like this: that the Torah and the story of Cain and Hevel showed the terrible chait of Ritzicha. I mean, that's the whole story. Depicts the chait of Ritzicha. But at the same time, the Torah did not want to leave the scene of that depiction with an idea, with a false notion that a person can have about the blame of Ritzicha. See, first of all, the Torah tells you the story of Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel is a terrible thing. It's Ritzicha. But if Torah would leave it at that, then you might make up your own ideas, a false notion about how to remove Ritzicha from society and who is at fault in Ritzicha, you see, because you might use the argument of Lemach's wives. So that's why the Torah included this parsha to show it. It's really a continuation it's a continuation of the account of Cain. If it just would have stopped there, you might have a false notion about who's to blame when there's a Ritzicha. You might think it's the one that produces the... You might be involved in a false kind of thinking. As you might say, the false kind of thinking is that, look, if you reduce the weapons, so then there's less Ritzicha. So the ones who produce the weapons are really Ritzicha. Not only that, you see what they said. If you take a look at their Taina was a little better. Their Taina was that, what is he doing? He's producing weaponry. And who is he from? He's an offspring of who? Of Cain. So you see that his desire, why is he engaged in this? Because he has the same murderous instinctual makeup and tendencies, and those tendencies are now being expressed in his production of weaponry. You see, that's what the Ramban says. It's a beautiful Ramban. V'neu tofes maisei avosov biyodo, ki hu ben amaratzei harisha. You see? There's a kind of psychologizing that people do, and everybody, I mean, does such a thing, such a type of psychology, which the Torah holds is false, is sheker. And that is somehow or other, it's a type of thinking. I don't know how to define that thinking, but the thing is, it's a prejudicial type of thought where people try, they, one part of it, they use logic, but the logic is tied to a kind of associative conjecture, you see, and symbolic type of thinking. It's a certain type of thinking. You say, look, You take a look and say, oh, what, why is he in this business? Oh, his grandfather was there. Now you see, this is an expression of his instinctual, as I say, condemn the man, because superficially it fits into your scheme. You make up a scheme, an artificial scheme, and you put a few factors together, and it looks like it's logic, it looks like it's logical, but it's just basically a superficial kind of thinking and condemnation, which is not based on any real reason, although it does employ, the danger of it is it does appear to employ a certain kind of reason. Because it sounds like the person's like, oh, you see these factors, because what reason is unification. So as soon as you show unification, so people are under the assumption that it's reason. That type of thinking the Torah is against. See, that type of thinking the Torah is against. It's a kind, in other words, thinking demands unification. But every time you have a unification, it doesn't mean that it's thought. Because an individual is capable of isolating factors, taking factors and putting them together very conveniently and superficially, and it gives the appearance, yeah, why is he in this business? Oh, I'll tell you why, because he has an instinctual desire to kill. He can psychologize. Everybody is a great psychologist, and say that's why he's doing this to satisfy his instincts. He's really a murderer. He doesn't want to murder himself because he's a coward, but therefore what he does is produce a weaponry, and therefore he has vicarious thrill when other people kill, and he's really a retzayach bon. That's it. You can psychologizing. Superficial psychologizing. So that, yes. Other question? Wrong. You see, what is wrong with this kind of thinking? What's wrong with this kind of thinking? What's wrong with this kind of thinking is two things. First of all, just because there are certain elements that happen to fall in line with the universal does not give the individual the right to say that the universal is true. That's basically, and that type of thinking is done by some b'chol yom. Everybody's a great psychologist. You can psychologize this one, psychologize that one. You put a few factors up. Yeah, looks good. So that's one thing that's wrong with it. These things are not really based on the conviction that stems from this type of thinking is not grounded in evidence. It's grounded in a superficial appearance of reason. You see? A superficial appearance of reason. And if you have a few factors, you line them up and say, oh, it looks good. It looks very good. But what is wrong is that it just gives the appearance of reason, but it really isn't based on any sound fact. Just because he's the offspring of Cain doesn't necessarily mean he has murderous intentions. Doesn't necessarily mean that. And just because he produces weaponry does not mean that he is doing so in order to give an outlet to his murderous instincts. This is all conjecture. It's superficial psychologizing. So the first thing Yada says is that such type of thinking is false. That's one thing that's wrong. That's one thing that's wrong with such thinking. I mean, all prejudicial thinking is of that sort, where people line up factors and elements in order to make a picture. I mean, prejudicial thinking is not something which is based on nothing. Otherwise, nobody would accept it. But it's an isolation of factors and a unification, but it's not based on a genuine desire or search for truth. Because there, the human mind is capable, when it's searching for truth, to see and to identify and to isolate certain factors, and then create a universal. That's true thought, but it is operating with preconceived shallow notions. It posits certain notions, and then it creates a unification, and the unification is impressive. But you fail to look at the underpinnings of it to see if it really is rational. Or if it's just something that creates a picture that looks like reason, has the appearance of reason, but it's not reason. That's basically what. That's one of the things. See, when the Ramban said over here, "V'neu tofes myself osav biyodo ki hu ben amartzecher," that was that kind of reasoning. Oh, he's an offspring, and you see, oh, he's doing the same thing. So okay, he doesn't want to kill anybody. Maybe he can't. Maybe he's too cowardly. But he is doing this because he's getting, this is an outlet for his emotions, for his aggression. That type of thinking, Ramban says, that's sheker. Torah is against that. That's one of the things, that's one of the reasons that this parsha was written over here, in order to show that that reasoning is false. Yeah, what's that question? Yeah. The Torah is saying that that is wrong. That to say that you're not going to uncover Chochmas Hashem, that's a good example. To say that you're not going to uncover Chochmas Hashem and knowledge concerning the atom, because people could use the atom, once you have an atom bomb and a hydrogen bomb and you keep on going, you could destroy the entire world. Yeah, I know. But that's what they're saying. That's wrong. That type of thinking is wrong. The chiyisha rakti lefitzi v'yelachaboros. There are other ways to commit murder. That's not the issue. That's the second half of the thing. The first half is the type of thinking the Torah condemns. That type of thinking, the appearance of a unification in reason when it's not really unification in reason. There is reason, and then there's counterfeit reason. Counterfeit employs a facet of reason. It has unification, but it's counterfeit, really. And has the appearance of reason, you see. Yeah, all prejudicial thinking is of that sort. All prejudicial thinking is basically of that type, where prejudicial thinking is where you take factors, line them up, but it appears like a unification. Oh, now we understand why these people do this and that, because it makes sense. You see, that's condemned. That Yahadus condemns. Yes?
What about having it as a theory?
A theory is where you have genuine facts, solid facts, and now you have a theory. But if the facts aren't solid, they're just baseless. You just pull them out. The only reason the facts appear to be facts is because the theory, the unification fits in line with the unification, not because they themselves are based on any kind of exactly. It's just what you're showing is, like you say, look, he comes from kind, so therefore he has this. And therefore you posit this, you posit that, he's getting an outlet and doing this, and now you have the unification, but all these things don't exist. There's nothing here.
What about a genetic argument?
All psychologizing, I would say in general, that all psychologizing of other people is usually of that sort. Generally. Because the only real psychologizing has to be based on knowledge, and knowledge is not a simple thing. To know another person's psyche is a very, very difficult thing. Very difficult. But superficially, whenever a person psychologizes another individual, it's always that kind of thinking. That's a superficial thinking. You know, it tells more about the person that says the theory, or presents this type of theory than the person who he's talking about. Yeah, correct. So that is not unific. It's not theory. I mean, it's not theory. It has the appearance of theory. It would be a theory if there were facts, but there are no facts here. That's basically what the Ramban is saying. Yeah. Because to present it as a possibility is just as evil. Because now you're saying it's possible. Well, what's the difference? I'm not saying this definitely. So I'm saying this is just possible. Look at all these things fit in line. But there's nothing there. So it's just as bad. It's the same kind of Lashon Hara, Mitzvah Shem. Lashon Hara is full of that type of thing. Lashon Hara is basically that type of thing. It's Lashon Chalak Lakos. It means that you put it in what they call a spin. You know what I mean? That's what a spin is. What's a spin? A spin is you take some things that fit in line with what you want to say, and now it looks like a theory and facts. You see what I mean? That's basically what it is. That's exactly what it is. That's what they're saying. That type of thing condemns that type of thinking. First of all,
what about a genetic type of thing?
But even if you should show me that there's such a thing as a murderous instinct, and some people have a stronger one, and therefore such a thing it could be transferred. Even if you show me that, it still would not indicate that this person has that. And besides that, even if this person did, it still does not mean that this is an outlet for this instinct. I mean, all these things are just put together because they're convenient. They make a convenient picture. But there's no facts there. Okay? But there's something more here. There's something even more than that, what the Ramban is saying. See, the Ramban is saying that's number one. The Torah Yadus condemns that type of superficial thinking, superficial psychologizing, basically. That's what the Torah condemns. But besides that, it's also wrong on another score. You see, on another scale, that's the first thing. But the second thing is it's wrong is because you are not defining what evil is. You see, it's a misconception of evil. Because you are saying that evil is having these murderous instincts, and therefore you're giving an outlet to these murderous instincts, and therefore you are close to evil. It's like you're related. It's like a kind of thinking which is based on a closeness. You know, I mean, it's like you're close to a he was a Ratzicha, and now you're close to Ratzicha, so you're also an evil person, you see. And therefore, and you're engaged in an activity which is very closely related to Ratzicha. It's a kind, you see, what it's doing is, it's looking at evil in a superficial way. Forget about the psychologizing, but the whole problem of what is evil, it's viewing in a very superficial way. It's viewing evil as if it's something that you have to be distant from. You have to distance yourself from it. So therefore, anytime you come near it, you're engaging, so it's bad, whether it's a nearness because of genetics or whether it's a nearness because you're producing weaponry. So therefore, you're near the Ritzicha. You're engaged in Ritzicha. You're engaged in Ritzicha. It's like you're near the chait. You know, it's like a kind of condemnation because it's a quantitative kind of thinking. You understand what I mean? It's like you're saying, because I'm near the chait, so I partake of the chait. Exactly. It's saying because I'm near the chait, I partake of the chait. It's a proximal type of thinking. You see, you're thinking in terms of, you're thinking superficially in terms of association and basically it's a quantitative type of thought. It's not a qualitative thought. But Yahadus has a qualitative idea of Ritzicha. You see, if you take a look at the pasuk by Kayin, it's very interesting. It says that Kayin, the first time it tells you a story about Kayin and Hevel, Vayisha Hashem al Hevel v'el Minchoso v'el Kayim Minchoso lo shor Vayicha al Kayim ov v'yiplu ponov. So then it says Vayom Hashem al Kayim lomo chor aloch v'lomo naflu fonecho halo im teitiv seis v'im lo seitiv la pesach atas rovets v'lecho tshukoso v'ata timshol bo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that the Yisod of Tshuva, La Pesach, if you intative says, if you do good, you're shav, so then you'll be forgiven. Lo seitiv, you don't do shav. La Pesach atas rovets, the chait is always there, right at the doorstep. Ve'lecha tshukaso, and the yetzahara is always there. But v'ata timshobal, so you have in your power, to control the Yetzer, to determine whether you will act in accordance with the instinct or whether you won't. The Yata Timshobo. That's what the Pasuk, that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu told Kain. Then you have an amazing Pasuk. Next Pasuk. Vayomer Kain El Hevel Ochiv. Vayomer Kain El Hevel Ochiv. And then there's like a gap. Vayhi Biyosim Basoda Vayokim Kain El Hevel Ochiv Vayageo. What happened? What did he tell him? And it doesn't say what he told him. So all in the Farshim, of course, asks the question. Vayomer Kain al Hevel Ochiv, something's missing here. Vayokim Kain al Hevel Ochiv Vayageo. I think the pshat is based on this Ramban. You see, I think the pshat in the pasuk is very good. Pasuk is saying like this. You see, chait is when what a person does. See what happened to Kain? He was in a state of pain. Why? Because there was just him in Hevel. And he saw Vayisha Hashem al Hevel vel Menchosel al Kain vel Menchosel lo shor. So Vayiplu Panav. So he was very upset. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him an Eitzah. He says, don't be upset. Lama Choraloch v'lama Naflu Fonecha. Shouldn't be upset. You have the ability now to go back over your midos and to change what you are, atatim shobo, and then everything's fine. So the pasuk says, no, vayomer kayin el hevel achiv. You see, there's two ways that the person can handle the frustration. Either the person can handle the frustration by trying to change the situation, you see, change the situation which caused him the frustration, or else he can take that energy and turn it back on himself. You see, turn it back on himself and make the change an internal change, you see. So that's what the pasuk says. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Alam anafu fanecha, alam teitu seis. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him? Vim lo seitu lepesachat asrovets. Velecha tshukasa lata timshobol. Take that frustration and use that energy to turn it back on yourself. But what does the pasuk say? Vayomer kayin elev alochev. He didn't do it. Where did he go? He went to the source of his problem. The pasuk doesn't say what he said, because it's not important what he said. What the pasuk is telling you is that if what was bothering Cain? The existence of Hevel. That's what bothered him. Everything was fine, except for one thing. Hevel exists. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel vel min chaso. So what does a person who doesn't want to take the energy and turn it back on himself, but wants to change the situation, so what does a person do when he sees an individual that he senses is superior to him, and his existence is a threat to his own self-respect? So what does he do? He approaches him. He's drawn to him like a magnet. He's drawn to him. He starts talking to him because he tries to find a weak spot. He's disturbed by this individual. He can't just go home and just leave it. He has to engage the individual in dialogue, and he has to communicate with the individual, try to find something, some way, some loophole, some way to break him down. You see? That's why the pasuk doesn't say what he said, because it doesn't matter what he said. What he says is not important. Vayomer kayin el hevel ochev. How did he try to resolve the frustration? By engaging in conversation with Hevel. You see, engaging in conversation with Hevel is trying to find some way that he could live with Hevel, but that, of course, means that he has to, somehow or other, he's going to have to find a way to convince himself that he's superior to him. But it didn't work. So, vayhi b'yosam basoda, vayokam kayin ol hevelochev vayageo. But the pasuk vayomer kayin ol hevelochev is really follows directly from the previous pasuk, you see. Where the previous pasuk was HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him what to do with that energy. Nope, Vayomer Kayin Elev Alochev. He went to change the situation. That's the pasuk. Amazing pasuk. So basically what Yehada says is like this. That is what chait is. That's the definition of chait. Chait is not a proximal relationship to sin. You see, the world thinks of it that way. Like, sin is anathema. You got to stay away from it. So any time you're close to it, or you're involved, or engaged, you're approaching it, so to speak, you see, so then you're a chote. You're making weapons, hey, yeah, you're involved in ritzicha, you're a murderer, you also have this murderous tendencies, this and now you're a murderer too. You see, it's like a certain type of closeness to the thing is what makes a person evil. Well, Yehada says, no, there's nothing to do with it. That's nothing. That is not what evil is. Evil is the inability for the individual to take his frustration, his energy of frustration, and turn it back on the self and make the change. And if he doesn't do that, then he's going to be a chate. That's v'chiyela the harakti v'chiyish harakti l'fitz v'yela l'chaburasi. If you're not going to do that, I mean, so then you'll be murderer. You'll be a murderer anyways. It doesn't matter. That's not where chait is. So what Lemach was telling his wives is that it's true that society has an obligation to remove chait, but the way you remove chait is not by removing weapons. The way you remove chait is by teaching an individual to use his energy to analyze qualitative thinking, not quantitative, but qualitative thinking, to turn the energy back on the self. You see, it's an interesting thing. It's interesting. That's why the parsha, really, according to the Ramban, beautiful Ramban, according to the Ramban, the parsha is necessary. It follows directly from the chait of Kaya. There's another interesting thing of it. You see. That's good. That's a great philosophy. What?
Other groups also.
Yeah, right. See no evil, hear no evil. All those type of things. It means stay away from evil. That's the thing, right? Speak no evil, hear no evil. They mean stay away, stay away. It's not a matter of closeness. It's a matter of a process. If you can't do that process, you're going to be a murderer anyways. And if you can do the process, then the proximity has nothing to do with it. That's basically what the parsha of Lamech came to emphasize. It's an interesting thing. It says, the pasuk says, "Halo im tativ se'es." See, why was it hard for him to do it? I mean, it sounds like, he couldn't get better advice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the best advice. So he had the best Rebbe possible. So why couldn't he follow it? What was the difficulty here, you see? It's an interesting thing. The pasuk says, "Halo im tativ se'es." Halo im tativ se'es. What does se'es mean? So the Ramban says, Al das ha meforshim se'es avonecho, the al das Rav Avraham se'es ponecho kineged lama naflu ponecho. You see? Right? It says lama naflu ponecho. He says ki ha misbayesh, a person that's ashamed, kovesh ponim lamato, puts his head down. Okay? Then he says this, v'machabdo ki lanose ponov lamayla, as if he raises his face. Says Amom Tetiv Se'es, could raise your face. The Zetam Ula Yisofonoi Lo Siso Pnei Dal. Okay. So what is it? What is that idea? Then the Ramban did something else. But this first, what is this first shot? See, it's interesting. I mean, the Torah has it here. The Lama Nafu Pnei Alam Tetiv Se'es. I mean, there's got to be an idea here. The Torah is going to say this. What's the no? Lama nafu fanecha? Lama charla, okay. And halom tetiv se'es. Now your punim is down, then your punim is up. I mean, what is it? What is the Torah telling you over here? You see, the thing is like this, that what a Kadosh Baruch Hu told Kayin is that what is bothering you? You see, what's bothering you is that his mincha was accepted. Okay, Ve'isha Hashem Ohev Mincha. So therefore, and your mincha was rejected. So therefore, your face is down. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, halo im tativ se'es. What's bothering you is that you are standing relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a bad state. So in tativ, and that's why your face is down. But in tativ se'es, if you do good, then you could lift your face. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like this. See, it depends on how the person views reality. If the person views reality in terms of it's like a challenge, so it comes out that he won and I lost. That's something you can't undo. See, he beat you. I mean, he won and you lost. So therefore, what disturbs you? The fact that you lost. I mean, and you can't undo it. There's nothing you can do, because if you go by that emotional framework, you see. So the other guy was accepted. He was, and now you lost. So that's it. It's over. You can't get out of it. That's why it says. That's it. It's all over. I lost. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him no. He says that if you only look at it in terms of a superficial framework, a societal framework of achievement, then you're right. Can't undo what happened. You lost, and that's it. But if you look at reality, how you are in reality in God's eyes, so then what happened before shouldn't make any difference. What's the difference? So he had nesel panim, vayisha Hashem ohevo v'minchaso. So what? So it's true. So you look bad, and you can't do anything about that. But important is not what happened in the past, whether you looked bad, whether you lost, or whether you won. That's not important. Important is where you are before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im tativ se'es. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu told them that this doesn't mean anything. Forget it, doesn't matter. That was yesterday. But now, if you're chosen b'tshuvah, so now before God, before me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're wonderful. That's it, say. You can lift your face up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him that there's no difference. What difference does it make what happened yesterday? So what? You see. That's if you look at it in terms of the framework of absolute reality. Absolute reality, only important is what God thinks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. But if you look at it in a societal framework, you see, then it's naflu panav, and there's no way of straightening that out. Because that's the fact. The fact is that Vayisha Hashem, El Hevel Lo Nechaso, El Kaino Nechaso Lo Shah. So what does everybody see? They just see the fact that he was rejected and he was accepted. So if that's what concerns you, then you're doomed. Then you can't get out of it. So basically, it would seem the Torah is telling us, "Vayomer Kayin Elav Alochiv," because that was really the emotion that prevented him from. He could not get out of that emotion. That basically was a failure. In terms of the way things appear, in the terms of the way society looks at him or will look at him, he's a failure. You can't do anything about that. Personally, it didn't matter. The struggle was whether he can view himself, his nesoponim, his nesoponim is in terms of how society views him or how HaKadosh Baruch Hu views him. That's the idea of naflu panav and in Tetiv Seis. Okay. It's an only weapons. It was lo tesh kol charesh nechash l'barzel. But one of the things was weapons. Okay. It's something, yes, sir. And that's why the Mizbeach can't be associated with a Cherev. Not because there's any... The question I'm made is this, is Chabukhoi Naftalavat Chalav, so why can't the Mizbeach... So isn't that the same type of thing? You're saying you've got to keep the Cherev away? Yeah, of course. As a logical premise, it's ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. On the contrary, Cherev is very important, and David HaMelech was the one that they really should have built the base of Mikdash. Because what he did with what he did was really establish the whole Klal Yisrael. What he did was a mitzvah. I mean, it was a mitzvah, the biggest mitzvah, established Klal Yisrael with the Cherub. But there you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him no, because the Mikdash has to be associated with certain ideas, and for the Hamonam, and other ideas are not the proper ones that the person should encounter when he enters the Mikdash. So it's true, Mochama is the biggest mitzvah and the biggest mesiras nefesh, and a person gets the biggest schar, he's mosa nafsho. What can be bigger than going out and doing Mochamas Hashem? But the answer is, but still, that's not the idea that you want a person to associate with when he comes into the Mikdash. That's what it is. Not because there's something intrinsically evil about a cherub. That's superficial. That's the wrong type of thinking. You say that because the chair is going to contaminate the mizbeach. This is nonsense. It means that the certain group of ideas that Mikdash is trying to use to put a person in a certain frame of mind. It's not just anything that has to do with perfections. So Mikdash has a distinct purpose. So while it's true, I mean, you have to weigh them off sometimes. Because the fact is that you're going to say that a certain kohen can't do avodah, even though it's not right. I mean, it could be the biggest talmud chacham. But you have to weigh that against the average person coming into the mikdash and what kind of an effect it's going to have on them. Mikdash has to do essentially with the was constructed in order to have a certain effect on the hamonam. That's why it is. That's why it has to be that way. So that's why it can't be associated with certain things. Well, why David HaMelech, that's why David HaMelech thought that he should be the one that builds the Mikdash. Logically, he was right. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when a person will come into the Mikdash, with Mikdash David, and David HaMelech is associated with the Milchama, it's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted for the people. Shlomo is different. So that's really the idea. All those ideas are. Just because a way of thinking is false doesn't mean that you don't recognize that people think that way and you have to deal with that problem. That's a different thing. One thing is what the way of thinking is. Is it correct or not? It's not correct. Now, do people think that way? The fact is they do think that way. So now the question is, what do you do to change them? So you have to use chokhmah to change them. You can't just say that what they're saying is false. It's not going to do it. So you need a vehicle, an instrument. Migdash is an instrument. That's the reason. The fact that people have that way of thinking is not a question. We see around society. Everybody thinks that way. Most people do think that way. See, I mean, people are always, this superficial type of thing goes on all the time. Most people, that's the way they think. So Migdash recognizes what people are and has to correct them. Okay. You throw somebody out into the street and he gets killed, you can't say you have no responsibility. I mean, that's, of course. I mean, you throw a guy in the street, he's starving, he's hungry, he's all alone, and then somebody comes over and he has to go to a dangerous neighborhood and somebody kills him. Say, I had nothing to do with that, just closeness. I know you did have something. If you set up a situation where another person is murdered, of course you're chayav. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about progress to say that we will not I'm not going to produce weapons. We're not going to progress in terms of why, because that's involved with Ritzich. That's nonsense. So like was mentioned before, that we can't study the atom because it's going to cause atom bombs. I mean, that's not the way that the Yadis recommends. The Yadis says no, you have to attack evil on its essence, at essentially what it is. But it doesn't mean that if you do something that you neglect an individual and you cause him to be in a situation where he's murdered, you say he had nothing to do with it. That's uxorious. It's uxorious. Yeah, that's correct. I mean, just leave Pachug Lomzos as an injustice. That's true. But the fact that you put him in a situation that led to his demise, his death, that's of course yichayev. I mean, you participated. Doesn't mean you can't participate in evil. If you set up the, but if you sell a person a gun, you did not, and he goes and shoots somebody, that you had nothing to do with it. That's nonsense. That's crazy. Sell somebody a gun. The gun could be used for a good purpose, and you could use it for target practice, whatever. But if he went and killed somebody, you have nothing to do with that ritzicha. That's his free will. That's Tate says. Let's take up another point. Another point is the one in. Okay. Pasuk says v'chush yola. It's a difficult pasuk. V'chush yola is Nimrod, and then the pasuk says hu eichel lios gibor ba'aretz. Okay. Who are your gibor tzayel lefner Hashem? Al king Omar kinimrod gibor tzayel lefner Hashem. Very, very difficult pasuk. And what was he? Okay, pasuk is bracious yud ches and tes. V'chush yolad es nimrod. Okay. Hu echalias giba baritz. Okay. Then it says, Hu ya giba tzai lefnet Hashem. Al kenya yomar. That's why it said, Kin nimro giba tzai lefnet Hashem. What was it? What was it? Give us all the Hashem. What was it? I know somebody that they took the pasuk literally and they named their kid Nimrod. So it's giba tzai lefnet Hashem. Very good. Sounds good. So it's interesting. It's interesting. When you look at this, you look at these psukim, take a look at the mefarshim. It comes out like this. So Rashi says, Hu echelios gibor ba'aretz. So Rashi says, Lahamrit kol ha'olam al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'atzas dor aflaga. Rashi says. So it's not the good type of a gibor. It's not a zeo gibor. Right? It doesn't say. This is Lahamrit kol olam kadosh baruch hu atzas dor aflaga. Okay, that's right. Then Rashi says gibor tzayed. What is gibor tzayed? Tzod daiton shel brios b'fiv. So Rashi says, what did he was he in other words, he influenced people verbally. Umatan. And he caused them to go off the course. He fooled them. He caused them to live in error. Limrod b'makom, okay. Limrod b'makom, to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then it says. Then Rashi says, "Lifnei Hashem, mischavein laknito al punov." What that means exactly is hard to understand. Wasn't mischavein? He intended laknito. It means to anger a Kadosh Baruch Hu al punov, to his face. Okay, now what's the rest of the pasuk? Al king Yi Omar, al kol odom marshia ba'azas ponim yodei ribono mischavein limrod bo, Yi Omar zek nimrod gibrot zayed. I mean, what is this? What is the al king Yi Omar? So al king Yi Omar. So any person that is yodei ribono mischavein limrod bo, say he's like Nimrod. I mean. What does it mean? What is the meaning of it? That's Rashi. Rashi, as you see, there are certain basic difficulties in Rashi. Okay. The Ibn Ezra is like this. Nimrod, he says, Al tavakesh tam l'chol ha-shemos. Don't look for reasons for names. Say Nimrod, Morad, forget it. Im lo nichtav. Okay. He says, if the Torah doesn't say that this is the source of this name, don't try to look for names. Okay, so he immediately telling you, don't say, because his name is Nimrod, he was marred by Kadosh Baruch. He says, V'hu heichel, he says, laharos gevuros b'nei adam alachayos. He says, he was the first one that showed the power of man on the animals. Ki hoya gibrotzayit, because he was a very powerful hunter. V'tam lefnei Hashem, wasn't lefnei Hashem, says Shoyabona Mizbechos, he built Mizbechos, Umala Osa Machayos, Olo Lashem. And he took those chayos and he brought them on the Mizbech for Kabonis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vizu Derech Hapshat, that's the straight way. Vadrash, but the drushes, he was weird at drushes. Derech Acheres, that's another way. Okay, that's the Ibn Ezra. But Ibn Ezra seems to support the idea that he was a good person. Sounds like that, anyways. I mean, he was what? Excuse me. It's a big machlekes. He was a good person. He was a very good hunter, and he take the animals that he hunted, and he milal on his bechas. Okay. Take a look at the Ramban. Ramban says like this. Ramban says, "Kosav Rashi lahamrid kol olam al kadosh baruch hu batzas dor afloga." Then Kenu, he says, Heichel acha hamabel, ki b'mei dor enosh, huchal. V'efshalom ki huchal b'dor aflogo, merit. Okay, so then the question is when it happened. Next, I'm sorry, I meant the next one. Hu ha yagi b'tzai lefnei Hashem. So he quotes Rashi. So daitem shel brios b'fiv u'matam l'mer b'makom. Al ken yomar. So he quotes Rashi. V'chein das rabbi seno. That he was yodei ribono m'schavim l'mer b'makom. V'chein das Rav Aseinu, Rav Avram Pirish Hepachinyan, and Ibn Ezra said just the opposite. Al derech pshuto, plain pshat. Ki hu eichelios gibar lachayas lotzur osan. Go Pirish lifnei Hashem sheyabonim isbechus malas chayas laolo lifnei Hashem. He says vein dvarv nirin. Ramban says I don't agree with him. V'hinehu matzdik Russia. He's making a tzaddik out of a Russia. Ki Rav Aseinu yado risho b'kabbalah. Achacham nu Kabbalah is a Russian. In other words, saying you can't. It's one thing to say this pshuto shel mikra, and then you say, but then there's also a derech drasha. But over here, he says you can't say it. Same person. What are you going to say? The Chazal say it was a Russian, so Nevi Kabbalah is a Russian. So what are you telling me? Is a big tzaddik is Maila Olos? I mean Lamakom. It's against the Kabbalah. So Ramban rejects the Ibn Ezra. Vanochom beinai Ramban said an interesting shot. Kihu hechel lios Moshe b'gvuroso al anashim. That he was really the first one that engaged in power over people. Okay? He says, V'hu ha-molech t'chila, first king, ki ad yomav lo hoyu milchamos, v'lo melech, v'lo malach melech. the gova tchila lanche bovel at shemolach alayhem. V'achre chen yotzal ashur v'osa ketzono v'higdil l'bonosham orim b'tsuros b'tokfo b'gvuroso. V'zehu shoma v'ati reishis mamlachto bovel v'erech v'akad v'chalne. See, Ramban says he was a gibor, wasn't he, gibor tzayid? It means that he was a powerful, he was the first man of power. And was a man of power that he could, what? No. That, more than that, that he could enslave people with the power of his personality. Yeah, his, that's basically, that's what power is. That's what power is. I mean, how did Hitler, Machshamo, control people that one would think were rational and cause them to do the most irrational, most brilliant generals, cause them to do the most crazy, suicidal things which ended in total devastation and destruction? Strange thing, what did he have over them? I mean, they could have gotten rid of him in a second. It's power. Okay? And that's what the Rambam means, really. Yeah, I'm saying, that's power of a people. So it was the power of his personality. So he was the first one that could, you see, that's what he says. He says, Moshel Bigvuroso Allah Noshim. Moshel Bigvuroso Allah Noshim. That's what it means. It means he was the first man of power. He knew how to get people under his will and to have them working for him and create a whole powerful force. That's what power is. I mean, what is it? That's Molech. I mean, you can't just take people and just physically enslave them. I mean, it doesn't work. The human being is different. So he was the first one that knew how to exercise power over people and get them to under his the power of his will and create a powerful force. That's a Molech. That's what it is. Yeah, it's a personality, a certain type of intelligence. I mean, it's a special area of human life. I mean, that's what it is, basically. I mean, that's what power is. He's the first man of power. That's what the Ramban says. And he became a Melech. And the Ramban supports from the pasuk. Says Min Oratzi Yotza Ashur. I think Rachis Mamlachto Bubble, Psukum support the Ramban. Verech Laka Vachalne Barachinum, and Aratzi Yotza Ashurva, even as Ninveva, Sachovas Kolach. Okay? So, yep, that's what the Ramban says like this. Minoratzahi, Bamolchola, Yotza Ashur, Kiashum Neshemoya. Okay, then he says like this. And therefore Ashur is Eretz Nimrod, Kimoshin Emar, okay? The Sipa Obig Varaso. Here, you see, Bible says, "Ki hu gibor tzayid lizgaber gam al achayos v'lotzeroson." Vama, okay, v'lotzeroson. So he says, because Ramban doesn't like gibor tzayid, means that he used his speech, that he used the power of speech. That's not what he says. No, I see, but Bible says, "Ki hu gibor tzayid lizgaber gam al achayos v'lotzeroson." It's a little funny. I mean, it sounds funny. I mean. Well, yeah, it sounds a little funny. I mean, say that a person, he's a melech, he's over hundreds of thousands of people, he's a man of power, and he's going to go out hunting. I mean, sounds a little funny. But anyways, that's what Ramban says. Okay. Gibbutzai. Now he says, V'omal afnei Hashem lafligo ki ein tachas kol ha-shamayim kamohu b'gvura v'chein v'tishochei soros lafnei ha-olekim ki kol asher lafonov boris nishchasu. So he says, Gibor Tzai Lefnei Hashem means under God. In other words, the whole world. The whole world. Okay. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll just tell you, this is my own, a little bit of my own interpretation of it, okay? Because I'll tell you, see, to me it seems that what caused the Ibn Ezra to say that he was really a good person, it's that last expression, Lefnei Hashem. So Lefnei Hashem is a funny kind of a statement. Even though the Ramban says Vatishoches Ha'aretz Lefnei Olakim, that's a different type of a pasuk, really. Vatishoches Ha'aretz Lefnei Olakim means Olakim means Dayan, and there was a Shchosa before the Dayan Anas. That's Vatishoches Ha'aretz Lefnei Olakim. That's what the pasuk means, really. But to say he was Gibor Tzai Lefnei Hashem, somehow it doesn't sound right, because Lefnei Hashem usually implies, I mean, it's Hashem is Yud Kevavke. It's not Elikim. It's not Elikim. Elikim is Latishachas. It's not Elikim. Is a dine. That's difficult. My opinion, that's very difficult in Ramban. I think that's what the problem was with the pasuk, because the problem with the pasuk was Lifnei Hashem, and that's why the Ibn Ezra says no Lifnei Hashem. So you see that he was Lifnei Hashem. You see, but of course, then you have the problem if you say you see. But the problem is like this. I'll just give my own thoughts on it. The problem is that you have two phrases that are mutually exclusive. The Lifnei Areshem and the Gibor Tzayed are mutually exclusive. So if you say Lifnei Areshem, say it was a tzaddik. But what's Gibor Tzayed? See, a person is not a Gibor, Lifnei Areshem. Lifnei Areshem, a person is off of it. You see? You don't have Esol Akim his halach noach. I mean, it's halach. He can't even walk. He moves along. I mean, he's moved. You see, you don't say a gibor lefnei areshem is a tati desasra. See, that really is the problem over here. The problem is that you have two phrases that are tati desasra. So lefnei areshem would lend itself. It was just an Hashem says it's tzaddik, but is it tzaddik? What's gibor tzayed? Can't be gibor tzayed. A person. That's on the contrary. That's an enhancement of his own power. Enhancement of his own power is a denial of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The only you say Akel a Godel a Gibor v'Nar, it means he's the only one that's Godel. He's the only one that's a Gibor. He's the only one that's Nar. Not that there's nobody else. You see. So if you say Gvuras Adam, the Gvuras Adam is a Hafkoa ipso facto of Gvuras a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So how could it be Lifnei Hashem? You see. So what I want to say is like this. Basically, what I say is like this. That the Ramban, I want to take the Ramban's pshat, that he was really a man of power. He was a man of power. He's a man of power. But how was he a man of power? You see, he was a man of power by employing the Lifnei Areshem. In other words, he recognized that really to have power over people, you must make use of religion. You see? Without religion, there's no real power. So therefore, what it means is that he employed the Lifnei Hashem, you see, and he subverted it to his own Gibor Tzayed. He used that to be Gibor. And you'll see that's the case really with other powerful people, like for instance Nebuchadnezzar, right? So Nebuchadnezzar proclaimed himself as an Avodah Zarah. Haman proclaimed himself as an Avodah Zarah. What does Chazal mean? Chazal meant that you can't just be an evil person and deny a card. No one's gonna follow you. You're not going to have any power. See, the real power is the distortion of the Lifnei Areshem. That's why the two phrases really work very well together. The Ramban's pshat, I think, is the correct pshat, that he really was the first man of power. But he recognized that in order to be a man of power, you have to use the force of religion. So you must use the force, and every corrupt system, always, in order to be successful, must make use of that. The Lifnei Areshem, he was the first man of religion that took religion and made it into a power for his own use. Gibor Tzai Lifnei Areshem. And that's why the Ramban mentions that he was also a great hunter. Why do you mean he's a great hunter? Because the fact that he was a great hunter was part of his magnetism. You see, it was a feature in his personality that caused people to look up to him. Because in those days, that was an extremely significant element. To be a powerful physically, today it's not that important to be powerful physically. It doesn't mean anything. Except in sports, but in those days it was a very, very, very important feature. So it means that he used those features that he had in order to aggrandize himself in the eyes of the population, and that was a source of his control over the people. You see? So the pasuk really is very exact. Who are your gibor tzayid lifnei Ad Hashem? That's why Chazal say that he was makiras ribono umachavein. That's what it means, alkenye omar. What does it mean, alkenye? Alkenye omar always means something in the future. You don't say, for instance, alkenye omar besefer mochamais Ad Hashem, as voiv besufo vesanachol amarno. So what does it mean? It's a limud. It means alkenye omar means, what Chazal say it means, that we came to that place after Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or alkenye omar because it's an idea. It's an idea. It's always alkenye omar is always an idea. So what is over here alkenye omar kidnimro gibotzai lefnei Hashem? What it means is that he was the first one that developed that combination, that man of power who takes religion and incorporates it as a part, as a component into his own glory, in order that he could use that power over people. That's makiras ribono machavin limrabo. That's what Rashi says, mischavin laknita aponav. It means there's one thing if a person doesn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he goes away, he runs away. He runs away and hides. But him, it was just the opposite. That he took the idea of the Borei Olam and he distorted it for his own power. See, Gibor Tzayil, Alkenye Omar, he was the first, but Alkenye Omar, that is a prototype for the future for many, many, many other individuals and other movements, you see. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was mentioning it. Even Hitler maintained that he was appointed by divine providence. The divine right of kings. The divine right of kings. The divine right of kings. It's they always that's kinimra gibur tzayil lefnei Hashem. Okay, yes. Because what he did was he used the idea of God for his own self-aggrandizement, his own power. Yeah, that's correct. That's why Chazal say that he was in direct opposition to Avram, his ideas, because Avram was taking away his territory. But that's all these religious leaders. I mean, basically. That's the power of the church. I mean, what is it? It's the power. That's the same thing. The power of the church is a powerful force. What is it? That's the same thing. It's a distortion of God and used for their own power. I mean, that's Ken Nimrod. He was the first one to do that. Yeah, without religion, there's no power. So that's why it says, Alken Yamar Ken Nimrod Gibor Tzayid Lifnei Hashem. That's the thing. Contradiction. That's why you have the contradictory phrases to show you the idea. What the Ramban is saying about the hunting aspect is that was part of his image. He was a powerful, you see many, many powerful people, they're a powerful gladiator, powerful warrior. Physical power is something which adds to his whole, in other words, he was a genius at setting himself up in a way that his own attributes were presented to the people in a way that he was able to employ to become the power of all of the nations. I mean, that's what he was. He was the most powerful individual of all nations. And it seems to me it's possible to perhaps answer the Ibn Ezra that the Pshuto Shel Mikra is only describing his superficial activity, but the Medrash is telling you what his underlying purpose was. You see. So that's why it wouldn't be a Yatati, because Ramban is right. You can't have the Ibn Ezra always accepts Chazal, and then nevertheless there's a Pshuto Shel Mikra, and Ramban does the same thing. But you can't do it when it's mutually exclusive. But the Ibn Ezra probably learns that the Pshuto Shel Mikra is just describing his activities, but the derech of the Medrash is to show you what his real purpose was.